Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, March 24th. We're back with you.
Good morning.
As Charlotte pointed out, a very gloomy day outside.
Yeah, it's like a winter's day this morning. I have my boots on.
You do,
like,
huh?
Like, what's going on?
Come on, it's not death wintery.
It's cold enough for boots, though.
Yeah, I guess you have an excuse
when
to wear them.
Yeah, content when I go outside when I'm wearing this outfit.
I know. Boots are cool, you know. It just doesn't get cold here enough to wear them. Too often.
I know, it really doesn't, but yeah. I guess today's okay.
Yeah.
It works.
But it's not cold enough for Uggs or anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
No. Thankfully.
Yeah.
It is in England. My mom said this weekend that it's been trying to snow.
Oh, really?
Which I don't know what trying means, but
yeah.
I guess it's been trying to snow.
Okay.
That's what she said.
She knows.
But I guess that means it's cold.
I guess it does, yeah. So, well, that's cool. So it's Monday, and did you have a nice weekend?
I did. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of basketball.
You did?
A lot of basketball.
Wow,
yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The people I associate myself with love basketball, so I guess I just kind of have to.
Yeah, I guess.
But
you do.
No, I do. Florida State unfortunately didn't make it.
No.
But yeah, there was a few upsets, and I do. Yeah, I
like
basketball because I like sports. So.
Right.
Yeah.
You like college basketball,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you know a lot about the teams and everything?
Yeah, I have a bracket, but it's messed up now because the teams that I wanted to win didn't win.
Really?
So
oh, wow.
My bracket's not doing so good.
Yeah, so your weekend wasn't that great.
Yeah. I don't take it too seriously, though. So.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you like football, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool, right? I mean, it's new for you coming from England and stuff, right? We didn't really grow up on it. Except, yeah, I've been here since I was 16, so I totally have subscribed to football. You know, it's very cool. But lately, I just haven't been into it, so I don't know what's going on.
I just like the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Everyone's so into it.
I know.
It's not like soccer or cricket. I mean, they're not fun sports to watch. It's so serious. You have to be so quiet. Like, you can be rowdy at football games and basketball games and really get into it and see how passionate these fans are, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And, in fact, one sport that doesn't appeal to me is baseball. But I got to tell you, I was invited one time last season to the Dodgers Stadium to be at one of those suites and stuff, you
mm-hmm.
know, VIP suites and that, and food and drink and everything. And I had a blast, you know. I mean, we hardly watched the game, but at least I was at Dodger Stadium, you know, so I could
Well,
see
it makes
I'm
a difference
there.
When you get in one of the boxes. And
yeah.
I went to a Lakers game and sat in one of those.
Oh,
it was
so
great.
Said, yeah,
it was so much fun.
You feel like, so special.
Yeah,
huh?
It's like all you can drink. And it's just great.
I know.
Fun time. Did you have a good weekend?
How was my weekend? Yeah, I spent mostly going out to eat, I guess. You know,
that's the best part.
Yeah, I ate a few times this weekend.
I saw a few pictures on Facebook. One place looked really good. It began with a G.
The Euros place?
Yeah.
They call it Euros. It's spelled with a G, but it's Euros, which is a Greek food, and it's lamb, you know. So
yum.
It's like they sort of like shave it off the, you know, the meat and stuff, and they, yeah. So it tastes, it's very tasty. If you like lamb, it
mm-hmm.
tastes great, you know.
I
do you like lamb?
I do like lamb a lot. I love all meat. I love all food.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. But yeah, Greek food is pretty good actually. So I enjoy that. And and we've been to a few places. You know, I try to stay away from the sushi this weekend because it's just too much. I mean,
sushi
I can't
overload.
Eat sushi too much. Yeah.
I just read an article on CNN.com mm-hmm. that was only posted less than 30 minutes ago that said the families of the missing plane have been briefed by the airline and said all lives have been lost.
Right. And I've never seen a bigger headline on CNN than now. I mean, they must have letters that are like, you know, huge.
Really?
Yeah. You don't see that on your computer?
No, I don't.
It says all lives are lost in like huge, huge headline. I've never seen one this big before. But yeah, so that's the assumption, I guess, or the conclusion or whatever.
It's sad because I thought something was going to come from the debris that they found because they made such a big deal out of it.
Right.
I mean, the president of Australia or prime minister like was speaking about it. And
right.
They made such a big deal out of this.
I know. And so I think, we expected something like really outrageous, right, to
and
happen.
Then,
and no, it was just a crash, unfortunately. But it was, you know. It could have ended differently, but mm-hmm. I didn't see how it could have. I knew they were all dead. It's just a question of where and when, you know.
Yeah.
But,
definitely.
Yeah, it's a sad story, you know. But then again, another reason not to fly if you don't have to, you know.
Don't leave the country.
Yeah, I know.
Drive wherever you get.
I'm telling you, it's just that, you know, death by planes sounds scary because it's like you see it coming, you know, and there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
has it said what happened to the plane?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I guess, can they really find out now?
That's going to take months probably to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I knew because one plane went missing. Oh, this was decades ago. And they're only just starting to find pieces of the plane and like to find out what happened to it.
Really?
So I thought it was going to be something to do something like that where they're just never going to find anything.
Yeah.
And then decades later, they find something.
Right.
But I'm glad that there's some kind of conclusion.
Yeah. But it's just amazing to me to find anything in those huge oceans, you know. But I guess the satellites help them with that.
But with technology these days, I think it's crazy that it's taken this long.
Yeah.
I mean, they have so much support, so many systems they can use that the fact that it's good. They should have been able to find it.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. But, you know, I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to review, I guess, procedures now and everything and see if they're really doing what they should be doing, you know. But sometimes you have to wait for a disaster for people to wake up, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. So did you also work this weekend?
I didn't, no.
Oh, you didn't work this weekend?
No.
Wow, that's cool. So
it was so nice.
Yeah, nice relaxing time.
It was like, I think that's the first weekend. Because, when Sarah Ashley was in town, I had the weekend off. But it really wasn't the weekend off.
Right.
Because you have to I have to make her happy and do what she wants to do. You know, so this was this is the first weekend I've had off probably since I moved here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which was like 8 months ago.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Very
so
cool.
It was strange, though. Yeah, it got to last night, and I was like, okay, getting fidgety. Like, I have to do something. Like, this feels really weird that I've done nothing this whole weekend. But it was really nice to recoup and just...
I know. And the thing is that, you know, usually, I mean, during the week, I go to sleep late. So on the weekend, I go to sleep super late. I went to sleep to bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning, slept until 12:30, which I never, ever do, you know. I mean, I love early mornings and stuff, but when you're going to sleep that late and you don't have to get up, you know, you stay in bed. And I probably could have stayed longer.
You needed the sleep.
I did need the sleep. But you know that they say when you lose sleep, you don't ever make it up, you know, if you sleep a lot later. So you just got to regularly get a good night's sleep, which I don't really get, you know.
I feel like when you get a short amount of sleep, or you're on a schedule of getting, say, 5-6 hours sleep, then if you go to having 9 hours sleep, you're way more tired.
Right.
Because you're used to not having a lot of sleep. And that's how I feel this morning.
Yeah.
Like, I've been the past, like, couple months, I've been not on a lot of sleep. And then this weekend, I've slept so much.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm like, oh, my God, it's Monday.
I know. For me, it was hard to get up this morning. But, you know, what are you going to do? We got to be here. And we are here. Sounds great. And you know, we were talking about to Max Tucci earlier this week about him interviewing Jackie Collins and on his show. So last night he had her on, and he was gonna have her for 10 minutes. She stayed on the whole 50.
Awesome.
So that was amazing, you know, and good for you, Max. We're proud and everything, and that was cool, you know. And then earlier in the day, he's in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed on TV Andy Garcia. You know, the actor, yeah.
Yeah.
So, because I guess he's going to be in Rio 2, the movie that's coming up. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
You see, that's the thing. You got to catch the celebrities when they're promoting something. Oh, yeah, because then they'll come on your show.
Exactly. You know? That's when they need the publicity, and it's like, okay, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
whatever I can get my voice or face on.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're going to get to our guest now, who's been sitting here patiently and made a trip out here to L.A., we have Regina McKinney. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
So you're visiting us from Fresno. That's in California, for those who don't know. So it's not like that far. It's a few hour drive and stuff.
It's north, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's like Central California, yes. Right? Or something like that. Yeah. Do you guys have like vineyards and stuff there? Or is
yes.
That-
So oh, really?
That's an agricultural town.
Really?
Yes.
Have you lived there all your life, or did you move
no,
there?
No, I'm originally from Reno, Nevada.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Nevada.
I bet you nobody's born in Fresno or anything, so you have to move there, right? So, Reno, Nevada?
Reno, Nevada.
Wow, that's cool. What was it like growing up there?
I had a lot of fun in Reno. You know, Reno's a 24-hour city.
Yeah.
A city that never sleeps.
That's true. It's like a mini Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what
yes.
I think. When I think of Nevada, all I think about is gambling.
Yeah.
Whether just because Las Vegas is in Nevada.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do there.
Yeah.
And growing up in the 70s, that's when disco started.
That's true.
So the clubs were open 24.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of good times there.
Yeah. I remember the disco year like it was yesterday. This was like the late 70s. And everybody was doing a disco song
oh,
at
yes.
the time. You know, it was amazing.
Mini dance contest. I have won.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was a dancer.
So you were a dancer?
Oh, dancer. I
really?
DJed. Oh, yes.
Oh,
from
wow.
From an early age, did you start dancing?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It
yes.
usually comes at an early age, huh?
Yes.
When girls like dancing and stuff. We've had several. And women that used to dance as young girls. And it's amazing how it stays with you, right? Do you still dance?
Oh, I love to dance.
Really?
As a matter of fact, next month I'm having my birthday party, and I am going to dance.
Oh.
And the theme is going to be 70s music.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh,
well, you
awesome.
Might, yeah, I might as well dance to what you're best at.
That's
you know?
Right.
Wow.
Do you take dancing now, like dancing classes or
oh,
any
no.
kind of different? You
no.
just know, you just
no.
like disco
I just
dancing.
Love to dance. I mean, now with the way they dance now, it probably hurt me. I try and dance with my kids sometimes and they'll laugh.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the generations, you know.
Yes.
We left at our parents too, you know. So what are you going to do, you know?
Hey, we're the originators.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so the 70s in Reno, that's interesting because in the 70s I grew up in Vegas and I bet you it was similar, you know, because you still have a gambling town there.
Right.
And back in the 70s it was pretty small, I would imagine.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It's interesting because then again, I don't hear many people born in Reno and stuff, you know, but it's pretty happening town now.
It's funny because when our cousins would come, they'd say, we didn't think anybody lived in Reno.
Yeah.
We never thought anybody lived in. Yes, there's a lot of people that live here.
Wow. That's interesting. It's like a Vegas wannabe, you know, but it's like, I guess, you know, if you don't want to. Because Vegas today is like, it's a zoo, you know, there's just so many people there. It's not like it used to be. You know, I lived there
right.
in the 70s and in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
and it was totally different. Today, it's just full of people.
Yes.
And it's just like any metropolitan now, you know.
You know, one thing that I really loved about Reno is because it had the Four Seasons.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. And it probably doesn't get as hot as Vegas either, huh?
No.
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 It's not
oh,
really,
no.
Yeah, it's not really desert there. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. What I loved was like starting like October all the way to the end of January.
Uh-huh.
This is when I was growing up. You
right.
always had white Christmases, white Thanksgivings.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I loved. But
yeah.
until I started driving and I had to drive in it.
In the snow.
Yes. Then it was like.
And then your
you
outlook
know,
on snow changes.
Changes, yes.
Yeah, there you
yes.
go.
But it was nice to wake up and have Thanksgiving and look out the window and see that pretty white snow mm-hmm. and then Christmas with the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. And so did you have a nice childhood? Do you have any siblings?
Oh, yes. I'm the youngest out of eight.
Out of eight people.
Yes. Wow. Yes. My mom was the oldest out of 14.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm an only child, and it sucks.
But can you imagine to have 14 kids? My God. I mean, even eight, that's a lot, you know?
It is.
Wow.
That, what does it do to your body after a few times, you know? My God, you know?
I don't know. I only had three, and that was enough for me.
Oh, my God.
That must have been so fun, though, at Christmases and Thanksgivings, when you guys are all together. Like, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
That just sounds so much fun. Yeah.
Oh, yes. It was nice. It took a long time to open the Christmas gifts, of course, but
sure.
It was nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it does require resources to raise such a big family, you know. I mean, what was your father doing?
My father worked for in Herlong, California, it's Sierra Army Depot. And then my mother worked for one of the casinos there.
Oh, so she worked too in addition to having eight kids.
Oh my God. My mom was a hard worker.
Yes, obviously. Yes. And not I mean, a lot of people now, some women, I have one kid, I'm staying home, you know, which is okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be with your kid and raising him or her. But at the same time, I mean, there's people that have done so much more that it's amazing to me. Sometimes I just can't believe it, you know.
Well, growing up on our block, everybody worked.
Yeah. Huh?
the mother and the father.
And plus, when you have a big family, I guess the kids raise each other and stuff, right,
after a while.
The older ones.
Yes, look out for the younger ones.
That's true.
What was it like being the youngest of eight? Did you feel like you had a million mums and dads?
No. I was an independent child.
I'm sure. Nobody had time for you.
Yeah, no, they didn't. I was like the invisible child. And I would just basically do my own thing.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So, I mean, did you feel like lonely and stuff because of that? Or did you feel okay? Because you said you were pretty much on your own, having to do your own thing.
I always found something to do.
Yeah.
There was always something to do.
Yeah. So it was a close family, though? I mean,
yes.
Most of the kids
were
close.
Growing up, we were very close.
Right. Are you still, I mean, many of the siblings, are you still close to each other?
No, not like I would like to have been.
Yeah. Everybody moves to different places.
Yeah. Yes. See,
that's
I'm
true.
In Fresno, and so I have no family other than my kids in Fresno.
Right.
Yes.
Now, how did you end up in Fresno? I mean, who moves to Fresno, for crying out loud? You know?
I have a foster care agency, and I was in Sacramento, and I came to a training, a workshop, and I got to know quite a few people and different social workers. And so they placed some kids up in Sacramento, and when I told them that I was looking to come to Fresno, they said, why don't you open an office here?
Oh, wow.
So I ended up opening an office and got married and started my family.
Very cool.
Yes.
And when was that? I mean, at what point in your life did you move? Were you younger or was it recent?
I moved in 1991 to Fresno, California.
Oh, okay. So you've been there a while
and
stuff. I see.
So
you call it home for sure. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you see, sometimes you don't know where you're going to wind up, you know?
You never know.
Definitely never know.
Yeah. So now, so you opened a foster care home?
Yes, I started out with group homes in 1988, and then in 1990, I opened the foster family agency.
Oh, wow. So how did you get involved in that?
I'm a spiritual person, I have to say, God.
Really?
Yes.
What are group homes?
Group homes are, it's a place where children are placed that can't go to a foster home. Or their record isn't bad enough to go to, like, California Youth Authority or Juvenile Hall. So they place them in a home. It's a therapeutic home. It's wraparound services, 24 hours. You have individuals that stay there in the home. Average is six girls or boys to a home.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's so many places that kids can wind up, you know? I mean, it's like, really sad when you think about it.
Yes.
So these are, like, kids, you're saying they're not even, like, it's not a serious enough case that they would go to a foster home?
No, it's too serious. Oh,
it's
too serious. They can't go to a foster home.
Oh, I see, because
they
would be
troublesome. Yes, but not Juvenile Hall or CYA, California Youth Authority.
I see, okay. So, yeah, Juvenile Hall, I mean, they don't want to go there, right? I mean,
no,
that's not a good place to
go,
yeah.
No.
Wow. So, now, how did you become involved in, I mean, you said God and everything, that, but, I mean, something must have happened where it sort of, like, made you interested in that?
Well, it's interesting. I was working for a bank when I was 19 years old, and I remember sitting at the table, and I was looking at the stress that goes along with certain things. And I said, you know, when I get to be 25, I'm going to own my own business. And they said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, but I'm going to own my own business.
Very cool.
So I had an opportunity, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, if you ever give me an opportunity, I'm going to take it, no matter what it is. So when I was 22 years old, my sister, she had a group home for developmentally disabled and mentally ill, and she asked me to come to work for her. So I went ahead and I did it. I took the opportunity, and from there, I went into working with this other agency that had higher level of functioning developmentally disabled mentally ill, and I loved it. I loved working with the different individuals, and so I decided, you know what, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up a group home, but then do I want to work with children or do I want to work with adults? So I went to work in a boys group home. I didn't want to work with girls.
Really? Why?
Because we have a lot of issues.
Oh, okay.
We have a lot of issues. And I know with the boys, I could keep them busy with sports and everything.
That's true.
So I went to work for this agency and in the group homes, and then I found out they had a foster care.
Oh.
So I asked for more work. So I'd get off from the group home and go to work in the foster care agency.
Wow.
And that's when I knew, you know, I'm going to open a group home.
Yeah.
And from there, I opened the group home, a psychological group home. And then from there, I went to the foster care.
Wow.
Is it hard to open one of those? Because from an outside, it would seem to be like you would have to have a lot of qualifications and to do a lot. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
How do you go about doing
that? I was blessed because I didn't have a master's degree. I had to hire a master's degree person for the group home as the administrator. But by the time I got ready to do the foster care, my experience, I had years of experience, so I was able to be my own administrator.
Right.
But normally they require that you have a master's to oversee the program.
Okay. It's one of these, and it's like that now. I think work experience outweighs any qualifications you can ever have.
Yes.
And that just proves it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to go to school and stuff to do those things. Yeah. But thank God for people like you because, you know, the thing is that not just anybody can do this kind of work, you know?
It's a lot of work.
It's hard work, too, you know, to see people in those conditions.
It's hard.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, they fight you when you try to help them and stuff, right? Because they're not okay.
Right.
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 Now, so what kind of backgrounds do some of these kids come from? I mean, are they usually abandoned?
Oh, neglect, sexual abuse, you name it.
Really?
You name it.
So they end up on the streets or what?
Some can.
Yeah.
But fortunately that they have programs out there now. It's a lot different because back in the 70s and 80s when kids went to foster homes, they were abused too. Taken from their parents and abused in the foster homes.
It's like there's nowhere safe for kids anymore.
Well,
you know?
Now because of the regulations and like with my agency, we have to go out every week.
Mm.
Okay, my social workers go out every week in the homes to make sure that the homes are doing what they're supposed to do. The counties are more proactive. The state, they're on top of you. And then not only that, the kids, their rights are explained to them.
Mm.
And so if something happens, they can report it to their teachers, the doctors. You have CASA that they go out and make sure. So it's like a wraparound service.
That's true. So
it's
like intertwined. So nothing can happen without other people knowing about it.
So is this talked about at school? Because you say you can go to your teachers or...
Yes, yes. And they talk to one another. It just depends on the child. Because some may not say anything, but then because of scars, you can see scars, the emotional abuse. And you have neighbors also that will call in, you know, if they see kids aren't being taken care of.
Right.
And but, you know, sometimes they want to give foster care a bad rap. But what I tell them, like with our agency, when kids leave, if they emancipate out, they always have a choice. All they have to have is a 2.0, and if they do well and graduate with a 2.0, they can get a free ride.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. They have it good.
Yeah, they do.
They get a clothing allowance, a weekly allowance, and they have services wrapped around. So when they turn 18, they don't just kick them out like they used to. They can stay up until they're 22.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
important because, you know, at 18, you don't automatically become an adult, you know?
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it's a number. But a lot of kids are still
yes.
immature enough
immature.
That you need to give them the support and everything.
Yes.
Now, how young are some of the kids that come
newborn
there?
To 18 plus unwed mothers.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Sibling groups. You get them from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Yes, all walks of life.
And it's a, I mean, is there like a theme to it? Is it usually unmarried parents or is it like, can be anything.
It can be anything. I mean, it could be the economics. You have a family that's been doing good and father lost a job and something happened and went off on the mother or the kids and the kids are taken. Different things. But what they're trying to do is keep the kids from coming into foster care.
Right.
Okay. And so what they had when Schwarzenegger came in, they had a pilot program where instead of taking the kids out of the foster care, they would leave them in the homes, and then the social workers would go and visit at least 2 to 3 times a week into the homes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now they also have it where it's relative placement. So if CPS is called, they look for families, extended mm-hmm. families to place them. We're right. the last stop before we used to be the first stop.
Okay.
So they're trying to keep families together.
Right.
Yes.
Sounds pretty
yeah.
good. Now,
yeah.
when someone goes to a foster home, is that always like a temporary thing? The next step is to be adopted, isn't it?
Yes. Each case is different. Some kids are not freed. Their parents haven't signed off or the courts haven't freed them. And then you have some kids that have been freed. They're up for adoption. You have some parents who take legal guardianship over the kids, and then you just have some kids that are just long-term period up until they're 18 and emancipate out.
Mm.
So it just varies. Sometimes we might get 6 kids placed, and 2 days later, they go back to the home.
Yeah.
So it's each case is different.
Right.
Each case is different. But they can make it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it is I always say that they live better than most kids that are living in their own biological home.
Really?
Because of the wraparound service.
Wow.
Yes, they just have to want to take advantage of it. Even though they come with a lot of baggage, a lot of hurt, you can, you know, work through that and break that.
Right.
Break that cycle.
Wow.
And a lot of them have.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you
true.
Try and make sure that people, that kids are kind of at one home and not jump around? Because I know someone, I think she lived in something like 7 foster homes when she was younger.
Wow.
And I know that really took a toll,
yes.
that she wasn't just with one family.
Yes. Well, you have some kids that learn the system. And if they don't like a home, they'll do something to get out of the home. So it depends on like I say, each case is different because you have some kids that don't want to leave. And then you have some kids, for whatever reason, they decide they don't want to be there.
Mm.
And they have that right to say, I don't want to be in this home. And they cause so many problems that the foster parent will give a 7-day notice, or the county social worker will say, well, such and such doesn't want to live in this home, so we have to move them.
Yeah, take them back. Yeah. We don't want them.
So if the kid says, I don't want to live here, then you have to move?
Yes, yes. And you don't want to take a chance on that because you don't want to have a kid set a foster parent up either.
That's
right.
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That
yeah.
has happened before.
Wow. Well, we're talking to Regina McKinney, and she's visiting from Fresno, and we already established why she ended up in Fresno. So now that we have, you guys can go out and check her out at introspectionnovels.com, right?
Right.
And you can follow us. She brought her book, which she wrote, and we're going to talk a little about that. So you've obviously have a lot of experience with kids, with
yes.
Broken homes and things like that. Doesn't it like depress you sometimes to be among?
Actually, you know what is interesting? My oldest daughter was born in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the first time I changed her. That's when everything came out. I just cried.
Wow.
I cried because I was like, how could people do things to innocent kids?
Right. Yeah.
And so after that, I said, I will never read another file of a child again.
Wow.
Because I didn't want to see what happened to the child. I'd leave that to my social workers to deal
right.
with. I wanted to see the child's innocence, not the scarring and the abuse that took place. Right. So I believe that was the first time that I actually had a meltdown, because I couldn't believe, you know, and reading different stories and hearing different stories of babies being abused, let alone older children, that just did something to me. And I said, and I haven't read anybody's file since 1991.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to deal with the unspeakable. You just to make them better.
Right.
Heal them.
Yes. Because my social workers, they can go out and they can deal with that.
Right.
But I want to be able to interact with the child without seeing all that baggage and all that filth that has happened to them.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. It just amazes me sometimes the things that people do, you know. And so from reading a little bit about you and from what you discussed, being blessed and everything, I take it you're a God-fearing woman.
Yes, I am.
And so I think that gives a lot of energy, too, to deal with these things, right?
Yes, it does. You have to have balance.
Yeah. You have to get fulfilled from somewhere.
Yes.
Because you get drained dealing with all these things, right?
Yes.
It's just like being like a psychologist or something, you know, where you constantly listen to people's adverse situations and you have to be fulfilled somehow, you know, otherwise you just like drained, you know.
A lot of prayer.
Wow.
I in my book Introspection, I always allude to 3 G's: God, guidance, and goals, because we need God to guide us through our goals because of what we're dealing with.
Right.
And I get hit every day with something. Something comes up.
Right.
And I mean, I'm just constantly in prayer. I mean, I go to bed listening to Turning Point.
Really?
Or either I'll put the Bible on the audio and just so I can just have peace, serenity, because there's so much stuff going on.
Wow.
And not all bad. Some of it is good, but still you need to come down from it all. You still need to come down.
Yeah. So what does God mean to you? I mean, how do you view God in your life?
Everything.
Everything.
God, to me, is everything. I've had experiences that I had to deal with, like when my mom died, my sister and I, we were in a car accident, just a whole lot of different things. And Positive Attitude, that's the name of my agency. That's my ministry.
Right.
That's my ministry.
Oh, wow.
And I like to deal with kids one-on-one or groups. I like to talk to people, whatever I can do to help, because that's what Jesus did. He helped people.
That's true.
His thing was he wanted people to love one another. He loved one another, but there was so much hurt and sorrow. And I would remember talking to my pastor one day, and I said, you know, I had prayed for the characteristics of Jesus. I said, but I'm always hurting. There's so many trials and tribulations. And he said, if you wanted the characteristics of Jesus, you got it.
Mm.
Because if you read his story, he wasn't, you know, put in a position of people really liking him. They hated him.
Yeah.
He hurt.
Yeah.
He wept. And I said, oh, that's why they say you got to be careful what you ask for. You have to be careful what you ask for, because you'll get it. And so for me, because growing up, being the youngest out of 8 children, and I used to watch my mother, and my mother was so full of love, just so full of love, and how she helped her brothers and sisters and her mother and father. And I love that. In the second grade, I fell in love with God.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. That's how I was able to spend a lot of time by myself, is because I would read the Bible, and I was like a different kid.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure.
I'm not saying I wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I knew God was there.
Yeah.
That God was there.
You know, I think that, and that's a good thing. You know, I mean, there's no, I mean, people that believe in God in the good spiritual way are good people, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't find a lot of bad people or people that do bad things when they're involved with God and spirituality and things like that. How do you explain, like, I mean, you said God is in everything, and goodness, abundance, all that stuff. So how is pain and suffering allowed? Why is that part of this creation?
I think it's because God gives us free will, and it's the choices that we make. My husband and I, we always talk about, you know, people get up and they have testimonies, but there's testimonies that we didn't have. It's because of the choices that we made.
Right.
The Bible is like a blueprint. It tells you what you can do and what you can't do, what you should do and what you shouldn't. And so when we go against that grain, there's other elements out there that cause us hurt and pain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you know you have a history in your family of alcoholism, and so you start taking that drink, what do you think is going to happen?
Right. That's
or
true.
Drugs or whatever. Right. I mean, you know, we talk to these young people about sleeping around because what will happen? You'll get pregnant.
Right.
You end up getting with a guy that is no good, doesn't want to take care of the kids, beats you. You know, it's a cycle. So that's sometimes we step into areas that we shouldn't, that will allow us or cause us hurt and pain. I always joke with my brother-in-law because he grew up in church, and really he didn't experience a whole lot of stuff until he went to college. He did everything right. And then I told him, I said, the most problems and hurts you ever had is when you married my sister.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I always laugh. I said, because he did everything right.
Wow.
So the only issues he had was with my sister.
Wow.
And I mean, what better way to live than to, you know, you've done everything right, and the only problem you have is because you have disagreements with your spouse.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so.
Definitely.
That's true.
Yes.
Plus, you know, the way I view the world is everything's got an opposite, you know? Mm-hmm. So the thing is, when you have goodness, you got to have evil as well. You know, because it's because goodness is the absence of evil. Evil is the absence of good. You know what I mean? So it's like you got to just, I think, by the way of creation, it's inevitable that it's going to be the flip side of
well,
everything.
It's interesting you said that, because I use Facebook as my ministry, and I had posted that. I said the opposite of hate is love. The opposite of good is bad. Uh-huh. And then I got down to God, the opposite of God. There is no opposite
because
he is the creator.
Yeah, because he's not a physical thing.
Right,
yeah.
So people say, oh, the opposite of God would be Satan, but it can't be because Satan was a creator.
Right.
The opposite of Satan would be Michael, the archangel, because God created both of them.
Right, exactly.
So that's the opposite. So you got the devil, which was cast out because he was an angel.
Exactly.
So now he's bad, and you got Michael, the archangel, who was good.
Right.
So the opposite there would be Michael, the archangel, mm-hmm. and Satan.
Right.
Okay. Because
yeah.
God, you can't do the opposite because he is the creator.
He's everything.
He's the creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we are his creation. So the opposite of that. And I had to really look at that as, wow, that is really... really
powerful.
Deep. It's very powerful. Yeah. It's very powerful.
That's very cool. Now, so at a certain point, you decided you're going to write a book. Is that a decision like to take everything you've experienced and put it in writing? Or what kind of a book did you decide to write?
Actually, you know, it was interesting because my mother died in 1989. And I didn't start to mourn my mom until 1999. 10 years later. Yes, because I was so busy building the business. Then I started having children, and then I went through a divorce. And so just so much stuff was happening. And I remember walking down the hall, and I saw her picture. And then I turned around, and I walked back, and there was a picture of me sitting there. And I looked, and for the first time in my life, I saw the resemblance of my mother.
Wow.
And then it hit me. Oh, wow. Because, see, mind you, she lived in Reno. We brought her to Sacramento. She passed. So here I am in Fresno. So I didn't see that every day.
Right.
And so I started mourning her. And then I remember one night after I put the kids to bed, I just started praying. And the Lord said, do a book. Okay.
Wow.
Introspection.
Yeah.
That's different. I looked it up. I said, okay. And from there, I just started writing.
So you thought of the name first?
Yes.
Wow, because I know a lot of people have to write the book first to then kind of create some kind of name.
Yeah. It just came to me, and what was interesting is, like, I was a single parent, so I'd go get my kids from school, do the normal thing, and put them to bed. And when I would put them to bed, I'd always tell them stories. You know, I would tell them stories, and I'd record the story. So I did that with this, and I would lay down, and I would close my eyes. And if you read the book, it's very descriptive. You can close your eyes and let somebody read it to you, and it's like you see a movie.
Picture everything.
Yes, and every day that's what I do. I never had to go back to pinpoint where I was. I never had to go back. I'd just pick it up, and it just evolved. And that's where I got the strength from, because if you read certain things in the book, it talks about family, the family get-togethers. And that's where I realized after now the completion of introspection that – the strength to get me through my mother's death was introspection.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
very
I put
cool.
it all in there.
So it took you like 10 years to actually get to the point where you put closure on it and you grieve and
yes.
and then you move on.
Yes.
Because I think if you don't put closure to it, then you can't move on, right? I mean, it's
yes.
such a loss to lose a mother.
It is.
That, you know, it's hard to imagine, you know, how painful it is.
It is.
So so it's not like you decided to put it in a, like, memoir kind of a thing, but you wrote a novel. You decided
yes.
to
yes,
write
it's a
story.
Series.
Oh, it's a series.
It's a series.
Oh, wow. Then we better get ready for
oh,
a few more.
Oh, wow. People haven't seen anything yet, if
wow.
I can just be blunt with this. You know how when you go in and a woman has a baby
right.
and the doctor decides to talk to the woman, do you want to have, are you going to breastfeed?
Right.
Well, this is the beginning of it. I call it the colostrum because you're getting a taste. It's a teaser, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the second, third, fourth is the milk coming in and then the meat.
Okay.
Okay. So this is just like.
That's like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's the bacteria. It's everything. The antibiotics that's going to be able to fight it is just
yeah.
like, boom.
Yeah.
And you're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to shake your head and say, this girl's crazy.
Really?
This girl's crazy.
Wow.
Yes.
So you created the main character in the
yes.
book?
Yes.
And that's a, what, a girl, a woman?
Yes, a woman. It's a fictional character.
Right.
Yes.
And so how did the story come to you? Is this something that... Did you know the whole story in advance, or did it sort of unfold for you?
It just started unfolding
it?
As I started telling it. You know, in the tape, I just started telling it. But like I say, it plays in like a movie.
Right.
And I could just see, okay, the next segment, okay, the next, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. And then I got writer's block.
Really?
And then I would go back to it. And what I would do is I ride motorcycles.
Really?
So, yes, I get my
you
back
ride home. Motorcycles?
Yeah. In between
God.
Building all these offices,
wow.
I
what,
get on
like
my bike.
Harleys and stuff?
Suzuki
I mean,
and Honda.
My God. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'd get on my bike and I'd go to different parts and I'd sit there and, you know, I'd watch the kids and I was watching the kids. I had my microphone and just go from there.
Wow.
Is it purely fictional or is it somewhat based on?
It's fictional as far as what she does, but I did tie in some of the points of my childhood, like the snow and different things,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there were parts of me, because I was longing for my mother, that I would reflect back to my childhood.
Right.
That's where I could get my strength from. And it felt like my mom being right there with me
mm-hmm.
when I would talk about the childhood and my mother and her cooking and different things like that.
Yeah. So
yes.
you draw on experience and
yes.
stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So now the book also says, who gave them the right to decide my fate? Okay, what does that mean? I mean, no, it sounds very deep, and it's obviously not as funny, but yeah, I mean, it's sort of like an existential question, you know?
Yes, something happened to her. She has hidden secrets. You have to read the book. I can't tell it because I think it'd mess.
That's okay. You don't have to, but just tease it a little bit.
But it's like things can happen. Somebody can do something to you, and in a sense, they have altered your direction.
Mm.
And so basically, who were these individuals to do that to me? Who
right.
gave them that right?
Exactly.
Who gave them that right? I could have been a music composer, but because of what you did to me, I'm doing something different over here. Who gave you that right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who gave you that right? So
right.
now, you know what? You're going to have to deal with Gina Phillips now.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Okay.
Gina Phillips is going to dispense her own judgment, but Gina Phillips is also fighting the spiritual battle.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
Gina
cool.
Phillips is something else. Like, when I read it and I finished it, I mean, I was laughing so hard. I said, God, I can't believe I wrote this.
Wow. That's amazing.
I can't believe I said that. Oh, my God.
Wow.
But, you know, it was, I had to really go into prayer after because I didn't sugarcoat anything in the book. I'm hitting everything head on. Some things most people would want to say but won't say, or I've had a lot of people say, you know, Regina, I read the book and it really helped me because I'm dealing with some of these issues.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to do. And then the other side is the spiritual side, because most of us that go to church, we're all dealing with something because we're filled with flaws. So we have the natural side that we deal with, and then we have the spiritual side, and we try and balance it. And, you know, we're straddling the fence. What side do we get on? And so kind of that's what's happening with introspection, is she's dealing with the natural side and she justifies it. Wow. Well, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have had to do this. But yeah. Then on the other side, she's like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. Oh, well, they deserved it. Let me go to bed.
Yeah. So it's good to create a character like
yes,
that, huh?
Yes, I mean, yes.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's obvious you've had a lot of fun with it, which is cool.
Oh,
to see.
You know, like I said, it's the characters, not just Gina Phillips herself, the main character, but her nephews and her friends. And in the second, third, as you go on to each series, you meet more and more of her friends. And they are just as crazy as she is. I mean, these are people that you want to hang around. You laugh, you cry. I mean, when I was editing the manuscript, my husband and I, because we have an office in Ontario, I would read it to him. And there were times we were laughing, and then there's times where I was just bawling. And I'd look over at him, and you know how you men are. You guys can't shed a tear. And he'd be looking. I'd say, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah. And I mean, I'm just crying and I'm looking at him. Are you okay? I'm fine. So, okay. And then I get to the next part and we're laughing. And then there's times where I'm just reading, I'm shaking my head. Oh my God. Oh my God. So it's a roller coaster ride. There's a lot of blind sides. You think it's going to happen. And then it's like, she takes you in another direction. And it's like, you don't know from one minute to the next what Gina Phillips is going to do.
Wow. Well, I'm intrigued now.
Yeah.
The book is Introspection, Regina McKinney. And, so the last few minutes, I wanted to ask you if someone young is listening, how do they get a hold of you? What should they do if they want to get into the system that you're involved with so they can have a decent childhood?
I get my placements through the counties.
Okay.
And
so people don't come to you directly. They have to go through the counties.
They go through the counties. But then, like, I've had some parents whose kids are in the system, and they will request my agency Positive Attitude. They will request it.
I see.
So you can request it. And not only that, I send sometimes my social workers out, even whether a kid's in a system or not, to talk to them.
Right.
I try and my kids tell me sometimes I talk too much, but hey, I'm a writer.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody has to do the talking, right?
Yes. Yeah. So any type of child or whoever, if I can help them, I try and help them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's words that we can give. Like I tell some kids, you know, what I'm giving you and what I'm telling you, you might not encounter it, but later on down the line, and you'll remember that seed has been planted.
Right.
And we all can do that. We all can do that. You know, we all can plant a seed and somebody will water and God gives the increase.
Right.
And so it's just naturally in me to help. So they can call Positive Attitude. They can go to my website for introspection, introspectionnovels.com.
Okay.
And there's ways that they can reach me.
Awesome. And you sort of left an ending where it can continue?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. How many books do you envision having?
Well, I have four done already.
Oh, my God.
And wow. I have five total or four total?
Well, there's four that's done,
uh-huh.
The manuscript. This is the first one out. The other three we have to edit. And then I have five and six pretty much laid out. I just have to have my editor type it out.
Wow.
And then I'll be working. My goal is to go back to Mississippi and Louisiana and Tennessee to work on the other books.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Are they going to take place there?
Just so I can get back and get there and write fresh stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm the type, I can write about anything. I can look out this window as I'm looking and tell you a story.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really
that's
cool.
Amazing. Now, so your mom was one of 14 kids. You're
yes.
one of eight. How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Three?
18, 20, okay. and 22. Plus, I'm a grandmother.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yes,
yeah. Well, you wised up. You figured I don't need a whole football team.
Well, you want to know something funny? I have 32 godchildren.
Wow.
How do you keep track?
Yeah.
I love children. And I love boys. And when somebody's pregnant, do you have a godmother? Do they have a godmother? And my kids are like, Mom, you have enough already.
Yeah, not another
Mom,
one.
Yes, my goddaughter was born about 3 weeks ago. I went into the hospital and the lady in the bed next to her had a boy. And I wanted a boy. So I started talking to her and I asked her, I said, well, does your baby have a godmother? And my daughter is like, Mom, you got one right here. You have enough. You don't even know this lady. You don't even know this lady. And she's going to ask you if she can be your baby's godmom, but she's got enough. She's got enough.
Yeah. You know, that's so really funny.
I didn't get him.
Well, Regina McKinney, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody go to introspectionnovels.com. Get the book, Introspection. Sounds fascinating. Thank you for bringing us copies, I assume. I get one.
Yes, I'm going to autograph one for you.
Autographed, and I'm going to read it and check it out because it sounds amazing.
Yes.
And now I know the author as well.
Yes, and it's going to be 8 to 12 books.
Wow. 8 to 12 books.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Are you doing any book signings while you're here at all?
I would love to. Yeah. Anybody who wants to open it up, I'll come.
Yeah. No, I mean like bookstores and things like that.
We did one up north, and Rod, my publicist, he's in the process of setting some things up for us.
That'll be cool because people like to meet the authors and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
It's often very cool. Okay, well, Regina, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
All the best to you. Have a safe trip back to Fresno.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to all the upcoming
books.
Definitely, definitely.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, well, it's another day, another show in the bag, and we will see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.